Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Goes Without Saying, we are back for another episode of Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing, except this time we are sharing everything that doesn't go without saying. We're getting you up to speed. I feel like these episodes are kind of the close friend story of this podcast. Feels a bit exclusive, feels like a safe space, even though it's not, and it's totally public, just like every other episode. So stay tuned. I feel a bit worse for wear after this whole conversation that we've had. We've gone here, there, and everywhere. It's kind of deep and funny and weird. It's kind of exactly what you would expect, to be honest. So I hope you enjoy. Okay, so a good place to start, I think, is the fact that everyone wants to... Well, Seffi and I had quite a funny conversation yesterday about sexuality and about labels. And we made a funny Animal Crossing joke, which if you don't have an awareness of Animal Crossing, you're not going to get. But we were saying about I've got Marshall in boxes. Like, I've got Seffi and Wing in boxes. Like, people putting labels on anything, really.
Yeah, love to box you in.
And the privilege that comes with... not, you know, rejecting that, the privilege that comes with rejecting that, not rejecting that. So should we talk about sexuality? Because I feel like people are confused, people are, they want to know, like...
Kind of the only question, not the only question, but I would say, like, a large proportion of the things were, I think I'm bisexual, like, what do I do, sort of thing. And I would say, you don't have to do anything about it. Go on some dates, it's fine, literally live your life. Fancy some people.
Well, that's where the privilege comes in, isn't it?
Absolutely. But there is a privilege in, I think there is a privilege in bisexuality in a way.
No, but I mean, there's a privilege in being like, you don't have to do, like, in for us, it's like, yeah, I don't really have to confront my sexuality too much.
Yeah.
Although...
because you pass through the world operating as a straight woman, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. There's a real sincerity to people's, like, worry and concern. Because for the majority, that's why, like, it's such a fucking big thing. Because it's not as easy as just, like, yeah, I'll just get on with it, I guess. I'll just do what Seffi and Wing do and I'll just, like, accept it and just, like... have a bit of fun. Do you know what I mean? But I also agree with you in that, like, for us, I think it's like, it's not a big deal. And that's the joke of it.
Well, I just almost feel like it's not deep just because I haven't operated in a deep way about it, in that it's just kind of like, I don't even necessarily identify as bisexual. I think it's kind of, I definitely date guys and I definitely date girls. And I think that is both a very, very, very fun. And it's almost like, I'm lucky in the way that it's, I don't have to put the label on of like, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. But then it's also like, I do have a desire to be like, oh, well, what am I then?
Yeah.
Because it is a mess. I don't know. I think there's just a bit of it that's like, I'm uncomfortable with putting a label on something that I don't understand.
Well, the label could be wrong. And probably a part of it is the label feels wrong. But examining why the label feels wrong is kind of interesting. But then I also don't think it's the... God, it's really raining. If you can hear rain, like, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. Might be quite relaxing, I hope.
ASMR.
But almost, what's that phrase? Like, it's your something to bear. It's your something to bear.
Your cross to bear.
Your cross to bear. Yeah, it's just unfortunate. Fortunate that, like, it's in part an interesting question of, okay, why wouldn't I want a label? What label might I like? That whole thing is a really interesting and complex conversation. But then also, it's unfortunate that for the people who are actually curious about that or have any interest in that is because they're impacted by it, and it's a heavy cross to bear. Do you know what I mean?
It's a whole real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
It is confusing. It is 100% confusing to be like, potentially as well at school, like from a young age, to be like, okay, so this suddenly feels heavy. Like to be like, right, okay, what do I like? What do I like here? Why are the boys disgusting, but some of the girls are okay? What does that mean?
Just in the standard of the world, the standard of girl is so
much higher than
the so far superior to the standard of man in this world. It's insane.
Honestly, when we look through just like even like our DMs and it's just all you girls, it's just like I'm sorry,
the
world is filled with stunning girls.
Can't move for stunning girls.
Can't move for them.
To be honest, it's kind of the best place to be.
Truly. But then also there are people, there are little cuties, kind of, you then see, I hate to say, I'm still on kind of Kieran Culkin, or like mm-hmm. you're on Sebastian Stan at the moment. Like mm-hmm. then you see some people that's like, oh, there are some cute guys though. Like they are a bit fit though. Bo Burnham.
Don't get me started on Bo Burnham.
I don't know. I also think like...
this is a mess.
So with all the things being like, can Sefi talk about bisexuality and stuff? I really, really hate to say it, but I'm not the person to ask because my experience was so easy. Like I very much operate as a straight woman, have operated as a straight woman throughout my whole life. Then kind of when I was about sort of, I guess, 21... went, fuck no, I'm gonna change my like fucking Tinder and Hinge and shit to have girls on there too, because I 100% would date a girl, and then just started dating girls from there. Like it was never a thing that I was like, oh my god, what does this mean for my identity?
How am I gonna tell my parents about this? Is my safety at risk here? Like, can I still have this job that I want? You know, like there are so many real questions that shape the conversation of sexuality that I think why we only brush over it maybe in multiple episodes is because for us it is kind of the worst case scenario of, oh well, I just never had to, I just kind of, it was a bit of a laugh.
Well, it's just in the same way that I would date a guy, I would date a girl, and that's never been it's never been deep for me. So I think that's why I kind of, in the way that it's like, I'm not a spokesperson on this and can never be, because it's almost, I don't have many deep feelings about it because I am in that lucky position of just,
yeah.
It's never been deep. I didn't grow up thinking I don't like men at all.
Yeah. And I also think now, I don't know what generation, I think the concept of generational like markers is kind of flawed anyway. It's kind of, Myers-Briggs, but like the Gen Z millennial types of, I just think now with the younger generation, our school experience, like we finished school, like GCSEs in like 2013.
We're ancient.
That's a really long time ago. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we like the school experience now is foreign to us. It's not this thing that happened a couple of years ago. I don't know what a secondary school looks like anymore.
I don't know what goes on in that place.
Exactly. So I think as much as we can say, like, we would have our own feelings of what it was like in school, for example, it's just very different now. And I think in a lot of ways, it's different for the better. That freedom and flexibility of like a spectrum of gender and sexuality is much more what you and I lean into.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily a like the archetype of millennial culture, for example, even though I wouldn't say that we really fit into millennial culture, even though we reference Harry Potter in every episode, which is disgusting. But I do think that that's something that it's a generational thing. You're young and open-minded, and you see the world maybe, I think, a bit clearer for what it actually is, rather than in the traditions and rituals that you've been sold for generations previous.
And it's less binary. It's not you're a lesbian or you're straight, you're gay or you're straight, you're a girl or you're a boy.
Uh-huh.
There is space to be more fluid, and I do think then the privileged people that kind of fit into wherever can lean into that and be like, oh, okay, cool, I don't have to label. When it's like, oh, actually, a few years ago, you would have had to label this, and it's almost a bit of an insult to not label it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of that's the thing as well. I think anyone who knows me would know that I'm not straight. And I think that in itself is enough of a label for me at this time in my life. I can't say I'm perfectly straight. What a bore. IMO.
I don't know whether I'm just projecting this, but I genuinely think anyone that says they're 100% straight is lying.
I know.
Lying.
I know, but then I was going to say, and then I was like, I'm not going to say it because I'm not in for this. I don't want to be cancelled, but I was just about to say, I'm going to say something really problematic and say, is anyone? But then I don't know.
I'm going to say something really problematic and just say what I said.
But then you said it.
Yikes, I just said it.
But I agree with you. But again, it is projecting, but I don't know.
The marketing that women have had on women's sexuality, of women being the sexiest creatures. You can't even walk down the street without seeing adverts of women in underwear licking an ice lolly, like dripping down her face and shit. Just any random fucking advert.
I can't be on a YouTube video without seeing a comment saying XXX hot chicks, blah, blah, blah. Just a spam comment.
You can't avoid it.
It's like, look at what spam is. Spam is a woman's asshole as a profile picture. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The whole world is filtered through
women's sexuality.
A gaze of, yeah, women being sexual. So no wonder you want to finger a girl.
Well, and also then it feeds in the two ways of, you have then the overt awareness of what you look like and then how you perform to essentially what is a male gaze.
Mm.
Because as much as it's female sexuality tailored to a male gaze of like big fucking tits in your face.
I come all over them. Whoa!
Which isn't necessarily actually what a woman would find attractive in, yeah, fucking girl fucking squirts 10 time bucket loads. Like, it's kind of, it's not actually what necessarily we'd be like, oh wow, that's so fit. But then when you see, for example, fucking, you're watching, I don't know, Sex Education, the show,
mm-hmm.
and fucking Gillian Anderson is standing there in a beautiful, like, white dressing gown.
I was gonna say Gillian Anderson.
It's like, well, I can't fucking ignore this.
I can't and I won't.
You want me to pretend this isn't the most stunning thing I've ever seen?
Even Hermione. No, I'm not going there. Just leave it.
No, yeah, even Hermione. The pink dress, say it. The pink hoodie.
Exactly. And that's the line between, do I want to fuck this woman or do I want to be her? Do I need to look like this woman,
mm-hmm.
or do I want to be in bed with her? Or is it just a combination of the two?
But I think that is the line that all, I hate to project, but all women.
Lots
you,
of women.
You and you. Harry, all of us. I literally am joking. I don't know what people feel. I'm projecting. But I do think that is the line that, for example, we get a lot of people when we spoke about porn ages ago. A lot of people were saying, I don't know what it is because when I watch porn, like straight porn, I watch the woman.
Because the man looks like Tony Hawk.
The man is rank.
Get me out of it.
The man is rank, and because it's filtered through a male lens.
And also, he's a mime. Why is he not speaking?
But that most likely was created for men by men. So then you are watching that. And of course, the man is just a placeholder of dick. And the woman is this, she's having an absolute whale of a time. We know it's fake, but she's screeching her nut off.
It's a Meryl Streep performance.
So of course you're drawn to her. And also, she's got big bouncing boobs in your face. Of course you're going to look at them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the duality of, like, I'm seeing myself in this. Am I viewing myself as her? Or am I viewing her as an object that is being presented as? She's not being presented as an autonomous woman feeling pleasure. She's being presented as a woman that's feeling pleasure for the gaze of the male viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So no wonder we're all fucking confused. And that's the same thing that you then see in a Topshop advert or in a...
R.I.P. Topshop.
R.I.P. Philip Green. See you in hell.
And fuck Philip Green.
But you're seeing that in every single bit of media you consume as you walk down the street is just like a micro fucking version of porn, of just a woman pretending she's loving her life for a male gaze.
Right, right. That's quite a nice concept. It's an awful concept, but just...
It's a horrific concept.
Every woman is living her life as a micro version of porn. God.
I hate to start this out like this.
God, let the kind of floodgates open of the problematic comments come in.
I didn't know we were going to start off with a big sexuality question.
Well, I just think it's quite nice. The people want to know. The people want to know about it. And I also think, Zevi and I had a funny conversation yesterday. We were supposed to record yesterday. Don't ask.
Never ask. When we say we were supposed to record, just don't even ask.
Just don't ask. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
When we say assume the worst, truly assume the worst.
It actually was fine. We just ended up talking about Bo Burnham for a long time. But we had an interesting conversation yesterday about the label of, like, so Seffi is a, what did you say? We were joking about the perception of, for example, Seffi was saying the perception of her is suddenly she's a bisexual autistic person with body dysmorphia, with an eating disorder. It's just like, all of these things she has no grip on, like, not representative of her at all, really.
Is what we get messages about, saying, oh, Seffi, could you actually just talk about your autism? I don't fucking know.
But that's why I wanted to talk about sexuality first, because it is interesting. And I was saying, Seffi will have the label as a bisexual person. And Seffi said, because I've been on a date with a girl, I have the label of being bisexual. And I said, it's not even because you've been on the date. It's because you've said you've been on the date.
Exactly, exactly.
Is what you choose to present. Because also with sexuality, I think when people feel like inexperienced, if we live in a heteronormative world, the timeline follows, the kind of building's room man follows you kind of go on a couple of dates with boys, like, and you kissed a boy in school and blah, blah, blah. But if you're kind of veering off of that route in any way, you come, especially like, so if you're in your like early 20s and you're like, fuck, okay, I want to date a woman, suddenly you feel like you're 13, where to begin?
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the curiosity of it. But also the thing with identity, in that someone could have never been on a date with a girl and have a rainbow emoji in their bio.
Absolutely.
And be proudly, and rightly so, proudly talking about how they're a lesbian and blah, 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 and have no experience. But if you've spoken about something, it's just whether you, what you choose to say is apparently what matters. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that might make sense to one person.
Well, it is right, because also it's what you realise about yourself. Like, for example, even taking, I don't know, any old shit. Like, for example, us, but we're both vegan.
Oh, yeah.
We could have just not spoken about that, because to be honest, why would it come up? It's not really, we weren't anticipating talking about the vegan fucking Burger King burgers last episode for about fucking half an hour, but it came up.
It's coming up quite a lot at the moment.
We could have moved through the whole space, never getting questioned about veganism, never, ever, ever, but it just so happens it came up, and it's almost like now we would be kind of in a space of, oh, okay, we're vegan, we're openly vegan, we're pushing a message now, which we didn't.
I wouldn't even say I'm vegan, by the way.
What are you then?
I eat plant-based, but I'm not vegan. There's probably products in my hair right now that aren't vegan.
I'm a bit confused about the difference between plant-based and vegan, because I always understood that back. I think my vegan knowledge is so fucking 5 years ago, because I feel like I don't actively live in those spaces anymore.
I thought you were going to say listen, because I don't actively listen to what any of the vegans are saying.
No, I don't. I intentionally yeah. don't listen, because I know I will further my eating disorder. So I actively don't listen to you freely telling me to eat fucking 5 watermelons a day and nothing else, you fucking freak.
I can't believe Freely.
Freely actually tried to kill me in 2011.
I can't believe you watched Freely. Like,
I voluntarily lived by Freely.
This scares me.
Bonnie Rebecca, I know she's still around, but I know she's changed her ways.
Oh, I love Bonnie Rebecca.
Well, she also tried to kill me back in the day.
But oh, well, I love her, because heads up for all the Swifties out there.
Yeah.
She has a great channel with her friend Emily, and they talk about Taylor Swift, and it's just like the nicest thing to listen to. I honestly think they're great, and also just love their friendship.
She's so stunning.
That's a really wholesome recommendation, but I just really love them. Anyway, yeah, the vegan community was scary.
So strange. So strange. Does anyone remember Asena O'Neill? She was a big one, and she honestly tried to put the final nail in the coffin of my life. Honestly, these poor people.
What was her thing? A lot of fruit.
She was like a vegan YouTuber, I guess, and she like did a big thing. She like dropped off the internet. She's like, I'm leaving, this is all fake. It's like she was kind of ahead of her time, to be honest.
It's kind of, she's in Steffi and Wing. This is all fake.
We're really just trying to be Asena.
I just want to give you authenticity and I can't.
But she also was a girl that was starving herself on the internet and looked stunning for it, and there were girls in Australia, and then there's girls across the world being like, oh my god, I'll eat just a grain of rice and 3 avocados. Just honestly strange times. Thank God the internet's different.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I remember the notable moment of you being like, we were doing a post on diet culture for an old iteration of Steffi and Wing.
Mm.
And I was like listing out diets. I was like, you know, this, like raw till 4. And you were like, no, raw till 4 is just a vegan thing. And I was like, Steffi, raw till 4. Just think about it for a second.
You eat raw food until 4 p.m.
It's diet. Like intermittent fasting. That's just like a vegan thing. It's like,
no! No, yeah. When you're seeing someone frame essentially diet culture through ethics,
mm-hmm.
as in it is ethical to eat this way, it is right for the animals, it is right for the planet, blah blah fucking bloody blah, don't we know it, you're hearing all of this and you think, oh my god, I must do this, it's good, this is like almost symbolic of my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird how it gets twisted away from, like,
I still think veganism does that.
It is that. It is entirely that.
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely framing yourself through kind of the aesthetics of being a good virtuous person.
Great, that's a good start.
I was gonna start the thing by asking what Harry Potter house you're in, because someone said,
oh my god, I'm surprised that you have picked that question.
Well, I didn't really pick it, but I just suddenly thought I would love to know, because I think I know yours, but then I just also think they do come and go, like they do change.
Well, I think we've had this combo before. To me, it's pretty obvious.
You're a Gryffindor.
Well, No, but to me, it's pretty, hours are pretty obvious. It, and we've spoken about it multiple times, but I'm not going to take it personally that you don't remember. Because we're
You're a Gryffindor.
I am a Gryffindor, is what J.K. Rowling would say, apparently. But also, she says a lot of things, so she's not the top of my list of people who I want to believe what they say.
So there's a lot of things we disagree with, so...
I also think there's a bit of a Ravenclaw situation there. And I think with you, it's a Ravenclaw and Slytherin situation.
Same, but the test said Gryffindor, and I disagree wholeheartedly.
When did your test say Gryffindor?
My test said Gryffindor.
That's crazy.
I was so annoyed by it.
You should take it again.
I did. Honestly, Gryffindor. I'm literally I'm literally not Gryffindor.
Oh, I never knew that. I thought it was saying Slytherin.
No, I want to be Slytherin. I am Slytherin. I know in my bones.
You are Slytherin. It's not even wannabe.
But I think I'm in a bit of a Harry situation of the sorting hat couldn't choose between Gryffindor and Slytherin.
Right. I'm interested that you've never had a Ravenclaw thing.
I'm so confused, honestly. But I know I'm a Slytherin. I identify as a Slytherin.
Why do you identify as a Slytherin? Tell us. Because you want to fuck Draco, but apart from that.
It's just kind of where I picture myself in the world. Jokes. I actually do picture myself as Gryffindor, though, with Fred and George.
Right, but like...
Wait, but you're not Hufflepuff with Cedric. I thought you'd be there in your mind.
No, not at all. Hufflepuff's fine. I love that Cedric is a Hufflepuff, but I've never wanted to be Hufflepuff with Cedric. That girl was the Hufflepuff princess. Remember, I think you got the wrong end of the stick that I was saying I was the Hufflepuff princess.
Oh, okay. I thought you wanted to be the Hufflepuff princess. No, I didn't think you would dream to be in Hufflepuff. I didn't think that.
No, but just for the context, there's a TikToker and her username was Hufflepuff princess.
And we loved
really
it.
Bored and confused. Oh, I absolutely adored her. Yeah.
Hufflepuff princess is embarrassing. Okay, that covers that then.
No, why do you want to be in Slytherin, you were saying?
Wait, I don't know. Let me think.
Or why do you identify as Slytherin? Like, you know, why? Talk about it. You brought this up, not me. Make interest, do something. Answer me.
I wanted to hear you say Gryffindor just to kind of put my mind at rest.
Well, it's also kind of everyone is divergent.
Yeah, literally the most absurd thing. It's basically, what colour do you like? What aesthetics do you like? I think I like the snake thing. I think I like the... evil snake kind of green
evil
darkness vibes, and you're sitting next to Draco. I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't mind that situation.
But we'll talk about it. Why don't you want to talk? I feel like you're a bit tight-lipped. What you're keeping from us.
I don't even know. I suddenly feel like it's like the world's most self-indulgent question. What Harry Potter house are you? And then you've
why did you choose it?
Because I wanted to hear yours and now you've thrown it back and I'm suddenly like, fuck, I don't want to be like, so what Harry Potter house are you in? And then I'm like, well, I see myself as a Slytherin because I love Draco. Suddenly really embarrassing.
No, but I also don't think it is Draco. I think it's part of the whole, the darkness and the snake and the whole vibe.
The snake, Nagini's there, the basilisk there. I kind of hate snakes. No, I think it's bad girl, but it's like evil villain girl. It's like, Jesus.
It comes back to the kind of fantasy thing, like a sexual fantasy kind of thing. For those of you that are confused.
And they're all 14-year-olds at school. That's what makes it really weird.
Let's not even get into that. They are older than us. That's what I'm saying.
This is, I actually think maybe we should talk about it.
All right. Well, that's kind of my fear when I said Hermione earlier. I was like, I don't want people to think that I'm a fucking weird. I'm not fucking fingering myself to little Emma Watson and I'm not. I'm really, really not.
No, it's an interesting conversation because I remember when kind of TikTok Harry Potter fantasies became like a big kind of thing, or maybe they didn't even, but they were a big thing for us.
They were a big thing on this podcast, that's for sure.
Oh boy, were they.
That's all we need to say.
And I think there was like a bit of discourse around like, oh, you guys are in your 20s, or you guys are like 18, 19, like why are you looking at these like kind of, they were 16 in these films,
children.
And I do think it's an interesting thing that through our eyes as children we will perpetually view those people as older than us, even though now of course we look back and it's fucking Goblet of Fire. It's like, these are children.
It's a 15-year-old. Yeah.
But I do think it's really interesting that like Fred and George, for example, will always feel older than me, even though now I watch back and they're younger than me.
Of course. Yeah. This is how time works. I just want to clear that up for anyone confused. Seffy and I have a good understanding of age. That's all it is. Again, a generational thing. Part of why I think the younger generation is so fucking great is because they really see things with... It's weird because I don't think it is critical thinking. I think it's a challenge. They see it with an opposition of tradition, which is amazing because it means that all of the like routines of like Britney Spears being asked about her boobs when she was like 17 is challenged by this upcoming generation, which is so needed. But also I think those challenges come up all the time, and sometimes it can be easily resolved. And maybe it's not so easily resolved. And again, maybe I'm in the wrong and I'm not as progressive as I should be. I don't know. It's the kind of classic thing with like Instagram, like wokeness and stuff, is there needs to be room for nuance. And sometimes I think the challenges and sometimes the like kind of prescriptive nature of that dialogue is you're either with us or you're against us. Yeah. You either don't do that or you do. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, well, some things there is nuance there, because actually to take away the nuance is kind of, it's kind of, okay, segregation isn't a thing anymore, but you still won't get a good job and you'll be living in a town where you're all, you know, no one goes, you know, no one has a good education and blah, blah, blah. You think you've dealt with the problem by saying like, oh, well, that's bad, so we don't do that anymore. But actually you need to have the nuance to open up all of the other smaller fractions of that conversation. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That was stunning. That was a whole piece.
Thank you.
That was great.
Thank you.
Honestly, hanging on your every word.
Well, all because you asked me about my Harry Potter house. See, that's the crux. Okay, I have a question for you. Someone wants to know, and I love this question, this is again funny. Someone said, choose your fighter, Seffi, Kieran Culkin or Jon Snow. I don't know if that's too real for you, because Kieran is so real for you right now, but...
I hate to say it, but it's Jon every time. Actually, I love to say that it's Jon every time.
Oh, I'm shocked.
I love that. I'm actually happy with myself with that.
I'm happy to hear that too.
My gut says Jon, just because I know Kieran will pass. Look...
will pass away.
I hate that it has spanned two episodes now. It is on its way out, the crush.
Is it?
It is on its way out.
Because that's what I thought with Sebers, but it came back with a bang.
Oh, that's the problem. I think it's going because I've stopped watching Succession.
That's the problem, is sometimes they haunt you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
But I think it's Jon every time. Look, Jon is long standing. Jon has phases. Mm-hmm. I love Jon at the wall. I love Jon beyond the wall. I love Jon in the south. I love him in the north. Wherever he goes, I'll follow that man.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Jon Snow is a great kind of crush.
Could I give you a choose your fighter?
No, because I know what you're going to say and I don't want to hear it.
Yeah,
no.
Choose your fighter. No, I'm going to do it.
I can't.
Sebastian Stan or Seth Rogen.
Oh. You know they're both in the Tommy Lee, Pamela Anderson movie coming up.
No, I didn't know that.
You sent me a picture of Seth in a weird little look. Mm. And that's from that. That's from shooting that film.
Oh, wow.
Or series, I think. I don't know. It's on Hulu.
Who's your fighter, though?
For what?
I don't know. There's no context. Just what does your gut say?
Like for marriage, for sex, for an argument? Like,
no, it's just you've just got to pick one. What does your gut say?
My gut says get me out of here.
I think it's Seth, to be honest.
Do you?
No, because I think you're in a similar thing, that you're feeling the lust.
You're in the, it's a fever dream. Yeah, you're in the hype.
Yeah, you're feeling the lust for Sebastian Stan, because you did send me some videos of him licking someone's knee the other day. Some gifts, actually, they were gifts of him licking a leg. And they did look good. They did look good.
And I showed you some of his gay scenes.
Oh, and they looked even better. They were good. But I think you're feeling the love for him. But I do think it's actually your heart says Seth. But I could be proved wrong.
I have a different love for Seth. I almost quite respect him in a strange way. I'm quite curious about him.
Yeah.
I would like to have him in my life. I don't want Sebbers in my life because it's too many. Honestly, Scabbers. I don't want Scabbers in my life. I don't want Sebastian Stan in my life because it's just like, ugh, like, get away from me. You have no place here. Do you know what I mean?
Too sexy.
Just too insane. Seth Rogen I could meet and it would be fine. I could happily walk away being like, I've met Seth Rogen, that's fine. But is that just because I'm not in the height of it? I also said to Sefi, I think Sebastian Stan, my name is Erin Emirali, and I think Erin Emirali as a name and Sebastian Stan, it's kind of the same name but flipped.
It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. Yeah, you go together. We're here to commemorate the wedding of Erin Emirali and Sebastian Stan.
But I don't want to. I don't want... I have nothing for this guy.
Feel everything for this guy.
I don't know. It's just life, isn't it?
You're kind of like Mrs. Sebastian Stan. Mrs. Sebastian Stan.
Fiona Charming. Mrs. Fiona Charming. That used to really scare the shit out of me, actually. It still kind of does.
What? Mrs. Fiona Charming.
I was saying to my boyfriend the other day, I've got this really... I don't know if it's a dream that I used to have when I was a kid or if it's like an early memory. Someone actually asked what's your earliest memory, so I'm just going to chuck this out there. I have this vision of being in a little baby crib, in a little baby bed.
Oh, God. When you say early... Jesus.
Yes, yeah, really, really young.
Fresh out of the womb.
It can't be real. I hope it's not real because it's fucking creepy. Ooh. It's almost like I'm a baby and I'm in a tiny little cot and I must be like falling in and out of sleep. I'm like in and out of consciousness because the adults are standing around me. It's like everyone's standing around me looking down at the cot.
I think that's the scene from Friends.
But exactly like that. Exactly like that. But they're saying, oh, isn't she beautiful? It's all in slow motion.
They're witches.
Yeah. But it's like my family. And they're like, wow, isn't she lovely?
They're singing. It's Stevie Wonder.
But it's slow motion talking kind of scares the shit out of me.
That's horrible.
Or just puts me a bit on edge. It's quite creepy, I think.
Yeah, I mean.
So that's what you just reminded me of with the little Shrek reference.
Mrs. Fiona Charming.
I feel like I've taken this for a turn.
No, I'm happy for all the turns. Let's fucking U-turn this bitch.
Okay, I've got a turn.
Okay.
Someone said, do you think there is ever a point where it is selfish to put yourself first in a relationship?
Ooh.
It's actually like an interesting conversation.
God, okay. Yes. Absolutely, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, I agree, yes.
How do I even phrase this?
Honestly, that's the crux of having a podcast. How do I even phrase this?
And I threw my arms in the air. How do I even phrase this? God almighty, help me.
God help me.
I'm trying to construct a show here. Jesus.
Steffi does say, before the podcast, she'll look up to the sky and say, how can I be of service here?
I genuinely do, because I...
Which is great.
It's crazy. I know, I don't even look at him. I put my hands on my heart. Mm-hmm. This is what I do before. Think about the intention going into this, guys. This is all for you.
Intention, yeah.
Put my hands on my heart and I say, allow me, universe, to be of service here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come out with, I don't know really why I'm in Slytherin. I just fucking fancy Draco. Kieran Culkin.
God, it's insane.
So apparently that's the universe working through me to come up with that bullshit. So I'm sorry. Blame the universe, not me.
Yeah, it's selfish to put yourself first in a relationship sometimes.
Absolutely. Because if you're somebody that operates, for example, it depends on the power imbalances. Absolutely. If you have the power mm-hmm. and then you continue to put yourself first, it's of course selfish and it of course has a detriment.
Right. You think it's about power?
I think it's about like social power.
Can you give me an example? Just come up with a hypothetical, like, say you have a person who does this and a person who is it, like, baby's first example, baby's first analogy. It's like, why am I saying it like that?
But for example, say there are two people that are invested in the relationship different amounts. They're in a relationship, they've agreed to be in this relationship. Communication is poor, though.
Mm.
One person is way more invested than the other person. So therefore, there is somebody with more power than the other person. The person that is less invested has more power.
Right.
I do think then you have a responsibility, one, to communicate that and potentially allow that person to leave. But also, I do think then it is selfish to be, I don't know, you move through that relationship endlessly putting yourself first because you know that you're kind of deceiving someone.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Well, I also think selfishness is kind of what I was saying about the main character syndrome thing is, like, selfishness is not a good trait, I think, in my ethics. Yeah. On my moral compass, selfishness is, we don't want the arrow going over there. Do you know what I mean? And I think self-prioritization in your own life is really, really important. But then there's a difference between taking care of yourself and covering your own needs versus being an asshole to everybody because you think they don't matter.
Selfish implies that you're depriving someone else of something.
Selfishness, you think, is depriving somebody else of something.
I think selfishness implies that you're harming someone else.
Oh.
So I think it's like that you are taking more than your fair share, or that you are acting in a way that you know is harmful to someone else to benefit yourself. It's not self-love.
Is setting a boundary with somebody selfish?
No.
But what if your boundary harms them?
It depends. I don't think a boundary...
What if you're with someone and they are suicidal? I'm going to let it, my hypotheticals are really dark. You're with somebody, they're suicidal, right? And the power of it, that's a man, suicidal man, woman here is who we're talking about. And she sets a boundary with him and says, when you call me at 4 a.m. on a Friday night and I'm worried about, I can't do that anymore. My boundary is, I'm cutting that now.
It's within her rights.
Right.
She's allowed to do that.
But she's harming him now, Is she? Is he harmed now? Is he at risk now?
God, you're really throwing out the hard questions. Look, I don't fucking know because I know there's people listening that are in that situ. I don't know.
I know, that's why I said it.
I don't know this.
Well, that's the thing, is kind of, let's take this moment just to highlight that that's the beauty of these nuances. And that's kind of what I'm talking about, the generational thing, is sometimes the answers aren't clear. That guy, I hope he's okay. But also, I mean, I'm always going to lean on the woman's side, aren't I? But, like, we're always going to have a bit of bias.
Yeah, literally. It's kind of like, if you had switched the genders, who knows what I'd be saying.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, I saw a great thing. And it was basically saying, your triggers are your responsibility.
And it's fucking true. That is true.
How good is that? That is true. Yeah, I think that is true.
Triggers.
Yeah, your triggers are your responsibility. Because, look, it's my responsibility. It comes down to me to manage closing an app when I'm not liking what's going on there, or stopping listening to a podcast when I don't like what they're saying, is my responsibility.
And leaving a conversation saying, sorry, I just think this conversation, I can't hear it, I've got to go.
Uh-huh. And that's not because it doesn't matter to anybody else. It's just, that's the only way that it can happen. Everyone has to cover themselves. It's kind of on an aeroplane when they say, like, adults sort your own oxygen mask out before you do the kids.
Yeah,
it's like, just cover yourself, because that's what you need to, that's gonna cause less disaster. If we could all take responsibility for ourselves, and I hope that doesn't sound like I'm implying that that man who's suicidal isn't taking responsibility for himself, because it's obviously, again, more complex than that. But I do think in so many ways, yeah, forget that guy, because I'm not talking about him, but like, it's your responsibility in a lot of ways. That being said, people shouldn't be an asshole to you.
It's not even you are on your own. Like, there's an element of, okay, this is your job to sort this out. But then it's also like, but there also is, there are networks available. Like, there are networks of things, like, yes, they're your responsibility, and people do want to get involved. And there are also therapy and all of the stuff. Like, we don't need to go through it. Medication, therapy, we know it. But it's also like, it is on you, because also, like, you can have all of the stuff given to you and all of the support given to you if you do not decide in yourself, I know my triggers, I'm managing this, I'm on this on some level. On some level, I have some awareness of what's going on in my own mind. Or some level of care for yourself.
Exactly. I was going to say, not taking care of yourself is insecurity. That comes from insecurity. It's coming from the desire of wanting, please, they must care about me. Someone take care of me. I don't give a shit about myself. I can't, blah, blah, blah. Like, it all comes, not taking care of yourself, not holding yourself accountable, comes from hating yourself.
Literally, absolutely. Well, we were just saying just before that I haven't been doing yoga. I haven't done yoga for like a week.
Mm.
And you were like, yeah, it's because you fucking hate yourself at the moment. But it's like, it's like, yeah, because I'm, it's maybe not hate yourself, maybe I don't want that to go in.
No, that's funny. Just change it.
It's because you feel like shit at the moment. It's like, yeah, okay, so that shows, doesn't it? I have stopped doing the pretty much one of the only things that makes me feel okay. Fucking hell, depressing.
Stop second guessing yourself.
I'm insecure today, aren't I?
No one thinks you're weak. No one thinks you're all these bad things. No one's thinking that. Let yourself make these jokes and speak freely.
Yeah.
Take a second. Sorry, I want to stop you. Just take a second, because you're not taking it in. Why are they second guessing? For who?
I don't know. I feel like I'm coming across like an idiot.
Why is who you are not deserving of a space where you can speak fucking freely? And that's what people need. That's what Snape's guarding. That's what That's what Fluffy's guarding. That's what Snape wants.
I love the bit where he's like, did you not see what he was standing on? What did he say? It's like, no.
A bit preoccupied with his head. Oh, didn't you notice? There were three.
Oh, God. I do love the early days. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Or worse, expelled.
I was thinking yesterday, oh, now I can relax. Kill us faster. Oh, now I can relax. Devil's snare, devil. That's right. Devil's snare hates sunlight.
It looks really delicious, I think, the devil's snare.
Devil's snare, really? Kind of a noodle vibe.
I think when they're really wrapped in it and they get sucked, I think it looks quite like, I want to bite onto it.
Mm.
But yeah.
What? Go on. Not doing yoga because...
Yeah, I haven't been doing yoga because it's like, I just feel too stressed or something, too shit, essentially too shit, to be like, okay, I'm going to stop everything, get on a fucking mat and be really present in my own body. It's like, no, that's the fucking last place I want to be. If I'm honest, I don't want to be present in my body.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be, honestly, in the clouds right now.
Yeah.
So you stop taking care of yourself. I know that is one of the only things that makes me feel like good.
Mm-hmm.
But I stop doing that because I'm feeling shit. It's like the most counterintuitive thing, but it's like, it's your responsibility to know what makes you feel good and continue it.
That's the hard bit, is kind of, you're so depressed that you can't take a shower and brush your teeth and have a nice breakfast and make sure you drink water and get enough rest. But then you can't do those things because you're depressed, and then you're more depressed because you're not doing them, and it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And then here we are, not able to turn up to the podcast every week, and I'm like, assume the worst, but like, actually though. Okay, I thought this question was really interesting. This person said, did you guys ever go through the attached or wanting to please authority figures phase?
Mm.
To me, it makes me think of, this is quite a Slytherin thing actually, of wanting like the institutional like validation of something.
Absolutely.
Kind of, you want a pat on the back from Spotify.
Which was the best.
So who doesn't?
Best day ever.
Yeah. Time of our lives. Yeah.
Time of our life when we got on a little pat on the back from Spotify. Would love another pat anytime soon, Spotify.
Would love a check, to be honest.
Anyone. Harry, I speak down directly to you if you are a brand.
It's kind of, do we start a Patreon or a GoFundMe? How bad are the times? No, I'm joking. But yeah, I feel like kind of desiring the approval of authority figures is so interesting because it's kind of the thing that I keep going on and on about, or it makes me think of this thing of the dichotomy of how you think and what you know and what you understand isn't necessarily always how you feel. So you might know that praise from a really strict teacher at your school is kind of nothing, like it doesn't matter, but you really feel like you want it really bad. And I think that's the kind of interesting line to walk,
because everything you've been raised to believe is that you should desire that. Because if you look at mm-hmm. even just like capitalist success, the pinnacle of that is being praised publicly by an institution.
Capitalism.
Yeah, specifically, like, you must go through the academic validation, the academic approval, that must, a good university, a good school, you must get good grades, it must put a stamp of approval on you and prove and validate that you are good enough. Then it's jobs, then it goes into capitalism, you're earning money, and the more money you earn, the better stuff you have, the more quote-unquote successful you are, therefore the more happy you are, the better person you are. So you've been trained to believe that, so going against that suddenly feels like, okay, so if I don't need these institutions to say that I'm valid and I can just believe that I'm valid innately, God, you're free. Go live your life.
Yeah, honestly, you're free. I'm free. Free as a bird.
I'm free. You can just run off into the sunset.
It kind of ties in, is also like the stories that we tell ourselves, like what is the story of your life in from your perspective, in the way of like, you could be an excellent swimmer as a child and you have a great coach and you love them and you're swimming coach, I don't know. You can tell this is not an anecdotal story. You can tell. This is not biographical.
This is Wing's life story. She's just her and the coach, just kicking it around the team.
You're swimming coach, right?
Teacher, you're coach. I guess they're coaching.
I don't know. Yeah, you're a swimming coach and you've got a great bond, and then you move town and you go to you're on this new swim team, and that your mum found it for you, and they say, oh yeah, go and do that. And you're not the best one on the team anymore. And the coach doesn't really favour you anymore. And now your story is ruined, because if someone doesn't see your worth, that must mean that your worth doesn't exist. And now it's all done, and you're never going to make it to the Olympics, and you're not going to go swimming anymore, and you're donezo, and you're just going to call it a day, because everything's riding on the perceptions of others, which unfortunately is out of control.
Yeah, on the coach telling you that you are great.
Uh-huh. not everyone is going to see your worth. Not everyone is going to find value in you. And that's fine.
But I think that's the trick of sort of like the illusion of success in this way, or the illusion of like you're doing well, in that it's not even just what people think of you. Like, for example, it's like, if as long as you're scoring first place, as long as you're scoring full marks, like it's very numerical. Like, as long as you are hitting this target within your work, as long as you're over fucking whatever amount of money you want to reach, as soon as you're... You didn't come first in the swimming race anymore. You came second in the swimming race.
Swimming race?
The coach can still be telling you, you're amazing, but the proof is in the pudding. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't win. You didn't win the race.
The proof is in the swimming race, yeah, as they say, as they so famously declare.
The proof is in the swimming race. Yeah. The coach is still licking your ass saying, I actually have a story.
Go on.
My sister's old tennis coach is a paedophile.
Whoa.
I know. He used to want to give them lifts home and stuff. Crazy. Oof. Just another little coach story. So when I said the coach is licking your ass, careful.
It's actually, yeah. Fuck's sake.
Can that go in? I don't know.
I don't know. It can. It's funny. But it's strange, but it's funny. It's also kind of, does that serve as a warning of like, everyone avoid Seppi's sister's old tennis coach?
No, he's going to jail.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's literally going to jail. They found child porn on his thing.
That poor man had his life ruined.
By his own search history.
Yeah, exactly. So unfair what they've done to him.
By his own fucking YouTube search history. YouTube, as if you watch child porn on YouTube. That shows how much I don't know where to find porn.
YouTube. Oh my God, can I tell you a sad story once? Not even sad, it's embarrassing for someone else.
Mm.
Someone gave me their phone to use once because mine like broke or whatever. It's like a grown man, not my dad. I just want to clarify, not my dad.
Not a member of my own family.
Just a guy, just an older man gave me his phone to use.
Who was, wait, what? How were you, why were you hanging out with this old man? Like, what?
It's actually your sister's old tennis coach. No, it's like an older guy. I don't know, like someone my dad's age. That's why I said not my dad, but it's not my dad.
Now it sounds like it is your dad. It's like, yeah, you do protest too much.
Kind of asking for a friend. Yeah, this man let me borrow like his old phone.
Still confused, but whatever.
And I went on YouTube, as you do, because I was using this guy's phone like for a couple days, and I like to spend some time on YouTube.
Yeah, who knows what you're gonna find? Get a little Freely video, who knows?
Get an old Nana video out, you know, who knows what I'll do. But all of his whole algorithm on the like timeline was like, I don't know, it's like the closest to porn that you can get on YouTube. Like, it was like pranking woman bent over, like all of the thumbnails were like women in like little,
oh God, that's awful,
kind of like, can you believe this nip slip?
Honestly, can you believe this nip slip? And then little asterisks, shocking.
And like things like that, it's like, oh God, just yeah, give the fucking phone back.
Oh my God.
It's like, disinfect the phone. Really, Daily Mail headlines. Rita Ora looks voluptuous and hot and sexy on the set of her new music video that she's been training for her whole life. She's put so much work and time into it, but all that matters is like you can see her nipples through a dress.
Do you know who always is on Daily Mail articles that I always see?
Who? I think it's always Rita Ora.
I don't know anything about her. It's her name, Michelle Keegan.
Yeah, it is.
It's always Michelle Keegan.
Michelle Keegan.
The Daily Mail are obsessed with Michelle Keegan.
You know who's another one? The Daily Mail are obsessed with Michelle Keegan, I'll give you that. Rita Ora and also Kelly Brook and Molly fucking May. Poor Molly May gets rinsed on Daily Mail.
Leave Molly May alone, everyone.
Honestly, leave Britney alone. But actually though, free Britney.
Leave her and Tommy.
Oh my God.
I don't know what happened. Did their dog die recently? Just leave them alone.
Oh yeah, that was quite a while ago, yeah.
Something happened.
There was a controversy about that.
Tyson, his bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Tyson's got COVID. My dad literally 2 seconds ago just sent me a link saying the fight's been cancelled. the bout, he said, has been cancelled.
Oh,
Tyson's
goodness.
Got COVID. Uh-oh.
Did you see... This is why you shouldn't believe everything you see on the internet. Was it Jake or Logan? I don't know. They're all the same to me.
Jake. Oh no, Logan for what's his name?
Tommy Nook.
Are you talking about the recent fight?
So Tommy Fury, Molly May's boyf, was gonna fight, was it Logan?
Oh, I actually think that might have been Jake. I don't know. Logan just had a big fight, but I can't remember the guy's name, even though that's embarrassing that he's actually like kind of a professional boxer.
Well, it's one of the pools basically was like trash talking Tommy Fury. This is Tommy Fury is like a a boxer, right?
Yeah.
And Molly May, they met on Love Island, so they're both like, it's like an influencer couple, if you're not from the UK or you don't know what we're talking about.
But Tyson, I'm sure you all know Tyson Fury, heavyweight champion.
Right, yes, that's the dad. The dad of Tommy Fury.
No, he's his big brother. The dad is actually a nutter. He's like a band from America. He's like a real nutter. I've forgotten his name though.
Oh God.
I think his name's John Fury. Big fan of the family.
You know so much, but also so little at once. Like, there's so much information here, but no way of phrasing it.
The dad's banned from America. They're irrelevant. Tommy is Tyson's younger brother, and Molly May's girlfriend, and Paris is Tyson's wife.
Fucking hell. Okay, well, anyway, all I was trying to say was...
That's the family tree.
Don't believe everything you see on the internet, because one of the poor people, when they were... like Logan or Jake Paul, I don't know which one it was trash talking Tommy Fury, Molly May's boyfriend. Just spell it out for everyone. And he faked a DM. Well, he said, look, I've got this DM from a few years ago from Molly May.
Yeah.
And it was a message from Molly May saying like, hey, like, would love to meet up, like, when I'm in, like, coming out, like, I'm coming to America in a few weeks, whatever.
Yeah, I'm coming to LA.
And someone replied being like, well, that's funny, because that white heart emoji that is in that message didn't come out until 2 years later or something.
Fuck. Oh.
So they fucking got him. But don't believe everything you see on the internet. Even Sophie sent me a fucking screenshot of like a TikTok earlier.
It wasn't a TikTok. It's even more embarrassing. A YouTube short.
It was actually a YouTube short.
Because I don't have TikTok.
Which I do watch, by the way. And it was a screenshot of Tom Holland. But that's like, I mean, I literally looked at it for like 2 seconds. But I'm pretty sure someone's edited.
100% it's Photoshopped.
Yeah, someone's edited his photo, his picture, his face. Fucking how
his likeness
someone's edited his likeness onto someone else's body. It's kind of the whole conversation with deep fakes at the moment, of like someone could just put you in a porn video, for example. We're headed for a scary old Black Mirror place.
Before Shane Dawson was cancelled,
which time, I'm joking,
there was a video that he put out. It was, you know, he was like conspiracy vibes from him. There was a thing which he did, like a little weird little segment on deepfakes, and I didn't really know what deepfakes were, but it's crazy. It would be like Selena Gomez's face sucking a dick.
Yeah,
it's like, this is so disturbing. This is so fucking disturbing.
Yeah, it's kind of me.
Yeah, they put wings and Selena Gomez's face. There's you. They put, it's Selena Gomez's face, but she's eating a Burger King Whopper. I don't know what's going on right now. It's just wing.
Oh my God. It's really, really scary. Because it's also that conversation of, that I feel like we itch into, and we're probably really preempting it. It's very presumptuous of us to insert ourselves into this conversation. But it's kind of, if you're a public figure, are you just public property? I'm not saying we are public figures.
Yeah, it's embarrassing to put ourselves into that. You're right about that.
But like, we have, there's hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
Of shit talking from us. And I've said before, like, if you wanted to make me out like...
You're a chef, you always say.
A fucking chef.
Saw it coming.
It's just a good word.
Do you want to be a chef or something?
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of hard. Like, I think I used pilot in another example, but I think that would be a bit harder. But I think you could edit me to be a chef.
Yeah, you could.
Because I talk about food a bit. I talk about ribs and stuff. It's like, you could string along a little story that we are paedophiles, that we are pilots, that we are swimming teachers, that we are this and this and this. You know what I mean? Because we've already strung the story of Seffi is a, whatever we said earlier.
A fucking bisexual, blah, 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 autistic blah, blah. Girl with an eating disorder. Brilliant.
We've got Seffi and Wing in boxes. Exactly, yeah. Molly May did sign up for this life, but she also didn't sign up to having, like, a kind of 40-year-old male journalist comment on the way that her body looks, publish it onto the Daily Mail, and have like floods and floods of a forum of like grown men saying she's not fuckable anymore. And is that fair just because she can cry about it in a Rolls Royce rather than cry about it in her fucking Nissan Micra that's parked on the road when she's getting a Burger King? That's quite anecdotal. Because I did have a Nissan Micra, but anyway.
I used to love Nissan Micras.
I loved my Nissan Micra. If anyone needs a recommendation for a first car, I would highly recommend a Nissan Micra. So cute.
I would also highly recommend the car I have, which is a Honda Jazz.
A Honda Jazz.
And I was watching in succession, there's like...
There's a Honda Jazz?
There's a bit, because they're multi, like, millionaires. They're probably like billionaires. They're so, so rich. And there's a bit of like, not even a gag, but it's like he gets into this car and it's supposed to be like the shit car. And it's a fucking Honda Jazz, which is the car I have. And it's like, oh, I'm literally the butt of the joke.
Honda Jazz isn't quite, it's kind of now you're oppressed.
It's like, it's very much like an old woman's car.
It's quite bulky, right?
They're very rounded.
They're quite long.
No, they're really round. The wrong thing. They're like rounded. They're always like this, well, mine is like this, well, my family's one is like this blue. It's like a horrible bluey silver.
Sounds lovely.
It's hideous. They're so hideous, but I love it.
We probably shouldn't give too much information about cars.
The number plate is...
This is taking a turn, hey?
Just a fun thing about my car, just quickly.
Yep. You're absolutely, don't even have to ask. Yeah, go on.
It was my grandma's old car.
Uh-huh.
And she gave it to me when I learned to drive. Then, unfortunately, I had to go to my sister and it's a whole fucking hand-me-down robes. Must be a Weasley, honestly. But I opened the glove compartment because it's my grandma's old car. I opened the glove compartment and...
Werther's Originals.
Yeah. Honestly, waterfall of Werther's Originals fell into my lap. They're still in there. I've had it for about 7 years now. I just give them to people when they get a ride.
Nice.
Still going. Still not even past the sell-by date. These things can go and go. So if you want any Werther's Originals, I'll give you a lift.
And we know where to go. Sweet ride, hey?
Also, I found one CD in there. There was one CD in the thing. Mm-hmm. Funniest song it could be. It was Sexual Healing. Sexual Healing. Such nice. A funny CD to be in the car. But yeah, that's just some funny facts about my Honda Jazz.
I hope you've been taking notes. We'll do a pop quiz on that in a few weeks' time.
What song was in the glove compartment?
What little sweet was found
in Seffi's grandmother's car?
What colour was the dress? Okay.
I think, are we ready to go?
You know what? I will say I'm not ready to leave until we've given our thanks, because I think there are thanks due. There's credit due here.
Yeah.
Just in the sense that like people have come in with their questions, and then I'm assuming someone's listening to this right now, which is so...
That's mental.
Really scary, actually.
We had a thing the other day. I think we're in this weird process at the moment of like kind of are blossoming into Kylie Jenner, but I suppose also kind of grappling with the idea that there are actually a few pairs of ears on this now.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke on the phone like, I don't know, we speak on the phone all the fucking time, or FaceTime, but like we'd spoken for like 4 hours. That's not unusual. To be loved by anyone is not unusual.
Yeah.
It's not unusual for us to speak for 4 hours.
This is nuts.
Yeah, this is really weird now.
This is quite scary, actually.
It's not unusual. Come on, all together now.
Oh, God. Yeah, go on.
We realised it was like, God, in that time, blah, 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 amount of people had listened to us. And it's like, God, we were having some fucking meaningless convo about Bo Burnham, probably.
Mm.
Loads of fucking people had listened. And I think we're in a bit of a transition of like, God, that's actually a bit fucking crazy.
It's scary.
And it is amazing. Like, we did this Into the Void for so long and it's not a void anymore.
It was just a little bit less of a void. It is like a really, really, I know people are going to find this boring, but I just have to say, I think... It is an amazing thing to have people enjoy this weird void. Like, it really, really means a lot. And it's really frustrating that there aren't really... I personally don't feel like I have the vocab to articulate.
No, you don't. To articulate.
That sums up then, I guess. But I don't have the... it's not in my power to perfectly explain to you how nice it is.
Yeah.
This is actually quite a dark thing. It's so nice because it's part of a bigger exchange. I was watching, I watched this, it was actually, funny enough, a YouTube short, but it was a TikTok of Alexis Ren. And I said this to Sophie the other day, that Alexis Ren basically said, she was responding to a comment on TikTok that said, like, you know, she's obviously got an eating disorder, so whatever. And Alexis Ren was... saying, she said, I'm just going to address this comment now and address all of you and say, I told you about my eating disorder to connect with you. I said that to have a connection with you so that maybe one of you might feel a bit better about your experience with eating, for example, or body image or any of that. And now it's being used against me, and that is an unfair exchange. And I don't know, I just wanted to leave that out there and say that the exchange of just having, like, the, you know, even if the void is still a void and it's just us three, it's Seffi and Wing and you listening right now, and if you're enjoying this, then that's enough. That's a really, really nice thing. I think what we feel and why the episodes can be rocky and chaotic sometimes is because there's only so much second guessing you can do when you're talking really openly, and like we're quite introspective in a lot of episodes, and for us it feels like we're giving quite a lot, and I think it makes it more of an unpleasant experience for the listener and for the person speaking to be second guessing what they're saying, mm-hmm. and hovering around, beating around the bush when they're talking. So we're trying to speak as freely as possible so that all of us involved can have the best experience. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I hope that makes sense. So this is just a moment of gratitude and like reflection of the space, because Steffi and I reflect on this space and ourselves and just our lives
all day, every day,
all the time, which is a problem. But I just think it's important to give a little bit of that on here because I don't know, we care, I don't know, like we think about this, I don't know.
I think that's so perfect because it's true. It's I think you said it all. That's it, completely perfect.
You're completely perfect.
Completely perfect for me. That's from Angus Thongs, who goes, "You're a natter, but you're a perfect natter." Or something like that. You know Robbie? Anyone know Robbie?
Oh my God, you know what that reminds me of? And we're not done, by the way. I'm going to keep this going. Sorry if you thought we were done. But I don't want to shove that on the end and then no one listens to it.
Okay.
I actually think it's an interesting thing. But also, the Bruno Mars thing.
I don't know what that is, but go on. I'm always up for a chat about Bruno.
Well, actually, I haven't. The Bruno Mars, let me narrow it down. The Bruno Mars song that came out over 10 years ago that says, "'Cause girl, you're amazing just the way you are." Do you remember that song?
Yeah. Girl, you're amazing. Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that song at the time? Can I ask?
Let me think of the lyrics. When I see your face.
There's not a thing that I would change.
To be honest, I didn't really have many thoughts on it. I really started to get into Bruno like quite recently.
Oh yeah, you're quite a big Bruno fan.
I think he's very stunning.
Again, quite short.
I think I'm having a bit of a short man love at the moment. Short, confident man.
Well, it works because they'll both be taller than you. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. I think when you're short, then you get the world of short men is open to you.
Exactly. You get the whole world is open to you.
Everyone's tall to me.
Yeah.
So everyone is kind of fit.
Well, anyway, yeah. I was just going to say, I brought it up as to say that song, I used to find it really insulting.
Go on.
In the way that I've said before, and I know we both do this, well, just any compliment or just anything, I'll find a way to take it personal in a mean way.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone will say, "I love it on the podcast when you said this," and I'll read it as, "I love it when you said that, you fucking idiot." Yeah. Like, yeah, I love that you fucking think you got away with that, you fucking dumb bitch. Like,
yeah.
I read compliments in a sarcastic tone. But him saying, "You're amazing just the way you are," to me is like, how fucking dare you,
Bruno,
imply that it's just the way that I am, not just little old imperfect me. It's like, how dare you,
yeah,
imply that there are flaws to love. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what song I used to find really insulting?
Mm-hmm.
"You don't know you're beautiful. You're insecure, don't know what for, you don't know you're beautiful." So I'm only beautiful
because you don't know it.
Because I don't know it. Because I'm insecure, therefore I'm allowed to be stunning. Oh, gee. But if I knew it, if I walked through the world like I fucking know I'm the shit. Sorry, you're just a bit much. I'm a bit much for you now, Zayn, am I? Sorry, Niall. You gonna say that's my face?
Yeah.
I don't think so, you fucking woman hater.
Yeah.
Not you, Harry. You're perfect just the way you are.
Meanwhile, they were literally like 16 years old.
Like, they didn't have any say in singing that song.
Absolutely not. But that's what I mean by the world has changed so much. In the 10 years ago when that song came out, that was fine. If someone put out that song tomorrow, there would be that sort of conversation online.
Yeah.
Kind of at the forefront of the conversation. It would be maybe even trending on Twitter. That was not happening 10 years ago. The conversation was just how romantic, how sweet. Over a decade, a lot has changed.
When we think that there wasn't even really that much of a discourse around blurred lines.
Not at all.
At the time. There was a slight one, but not at all in the level of like, this is a song about rape.
Yeah.
I know you want it.
Yeah, about the line of consent. Yeah, yeah.
Blurred lines.
Mm-hmm.
You're raping her.
Yeah. Okay, well, I really honestly feel like I've been thrown through a fucking hedge. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I don't really feel very good.
I feel like I've got scrapes and bruises all over me. Yeah. You know what it is? We've been through the wars.
Well, this is what one of these episodes of This Doesn't Go About Saying. It's what it's all about. We're going to leave shit in that we wouldn't usually leave in, but fuck it.
Right, yeah. It's kind of the close friends story.
Yeah, that's nice. That's so nice.
Do you know what I mean? If you're here, you're in the close friends.
But anyone can listen.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a public episode, and if you know me in real life, don't listen.
Oh, God. goes without saying. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, everyone. This has been so, so, so stunning, as usual.
Oh, don't make me cry. Okay, well, thanks, guys. I can't be too sincere because it will make me cry.
Yeah, yeah, let's... Right, well, if you don't hear from us...
What a turn to take. If it's true. If you don't hear from us, assume the worst.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.